Good morning and welcome again. Thank you again for being with us this Sunday during worship. Here in our today story, we have Jesus performing a miracle. Not just any miracle, but we have Jesus performing his first miracle. This particular miracle, like every other miracle that Jesus performs, is not only something that wondrously affects the people around him in a positive way, but also teaches a very important lesson about what it is that Jesus is doing in his ministry and in his mission, and leaves us with something very important to understand. As you read through today's lesson and you hear what is happening, there are so many moving parts to this seemingly simple story. First, Jesus is at a wedding, and weddings in Jesus' day were fairly elaborate affairs. They would go on for days at a time. There would be feasting, there would be drinking, there would be celebrating. Families would arrive, families would leave, new family members would come. And in Jesus' day, as much as modern day weddings are all about the bride, and the groom's kind of there because, well, you have to have a groom. In Jesus' day, weddings are all about the groom, and the bride's there because you got to have a bride. And so not only is the groom there, but it is the groom's family's job. It is their responsibility and an indicator of their social status that they will pay for the party. Now, as a father of three daughters, I've got to say this kind of appeals to me. I don't think it's going to catch on here in the West. But as in Jesus' day, having a party that somehow failed would be just as awful as if you had a wedding today where something horrible went wrong halfway through and you had to stop the proceedings. So, one of the stewards of the bridegroom comes to Mary and says, "Ooh, bad news. I don't know what to do. Help me out here. We're running out of wine." Mary turns to Jesus. Says, "Jesus, they're running out of wine." Now, there is nothing in Mary's request in any way, shape, or form that conveys her expectation that Jesus is going to perform a miracle. We know up to this point in Jesus' life, we have no record of him having ever done anything miraculous up to this point. This is repeatedly referred to as Jesus' first miracle. So when Mary says to Jesus, "These poor folks, their wedding is about to go kerflooey, they're out of wine, and just think what people are going to say about this failure of a wedding." Jesus looks at her and says, "Okay, how's this our problem? We're just guests here." Mary is not willing to let it go with that. So she says to the steward, "Do whatever Jesus tells you to do." At this point, still, we have no indication and no reason to have indication that Mary anticipated Jesus to do anything miraculous. This is a lot more like if you're at a party at a family member's house and somebody leans over to you and says, "Hey, we're running out of chips." The expectation isn't that you're going to miraculously produce a pile of potato chips. The expectation is that you're going to get up quietly, run out to the car, go down to the corner store, fill your armloads up with chips, and come back to the house. Mary is, for all intents and purposes, asking Jesus to make a grocery run. We have no reason to expect that her anticipation of the outcome is any different than Jesus simply going to buy some wine. Jesus, on the other hand, says to the steward, "Look, go to these pots of water." And in a good Jewish home, you always had giant pots of water. And those pots of water were on reserve because at various different points over the Jewish year, you would use those pots of water to ceremonially clean yourselves. They were an important religious function in the house. And between them all, they held between 150 and 180 gallons of wine, which, by the way, is a lot of wine. I mean, it was water to start with. Now it's wine. And so the steward takes the wine out, and the bridegroom's family says, "Wow, this is really good stuff. You know, some people will bring out the bad stuff at the end when nobody is capable of discerning the difference, but you brought out the good stuff at the end. And of course, the reason is that Jesus has made this himself. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we live in a world that turns water into wine. I mean, in our world, we turn water into wine by planting grapevines. The grapevines grow, we tend to the vines, the sky rains on the vines grow up, the vines grow grapes, we crush the grapes, we put them in oak casks, we age the crushed grape juice, the crushed grape juice gets strained, we put it in bottles, it ferments longer, and that's wine. The process takes a couple of years. Jesus just bypasses all that part. He does it in a couple of seconds. See, that's what makes his miracle so incredible. And this is what is teaching us about the ministry of Jesus Christ. People kept expecting this much of him. And he keeps giving them, well, more than I can gesture for. People expected him to set Israel free by leading an army. Instead, he sets the world free by his act on the cross. People expected Jesus to bring the sight to a few blind people. Jesus brings the sight to a world that cannot see God. Jesus' miracles always go so much further than we anticipate them to, because we anticipate Jesus to do so much less than what he's willing to do. Mary just thought she was sending Jesus on a grocery store run, as far as we know. There's no reason in the scripture to assume otherwise. Jesus, on the other hand, seizes the opportunity to miraculously produce not just some wine, some really great wine, but so much wine the wine will go bad before they can drink it all. It's just too much wine. And this is how Jesus works in our lives. We expect Jesus to be a part of our Sunday. Jesus wants to be a part of our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday too. We expect our faith to carry us through the good times and the bad times. Christ wants our faith to carry us through all of the times. We expect our faith to be a part of our life when we're reading the Bible, or maybe studying our scriptures, or maybe praying or worshiping. Jesus wants our faith to be a part of our life when we work, when we vote, when we go do recreational things, when we watch movies, when we talk to our friends. Christ always has a bigger picture in mind than you or I do. Because in Christ's mind, enough is never enough. He's always willing to give us so much more. And that's the true miracle of the life of Jesus Christ. It's the miracle of his life in our life, is that Christ wants to bless you and me more than our imaginations are ready to accept. But when we open ourselves up to God's word, God's presence, God's love, we may find there are blessings waiting for us. Well, 180 gallons worth. Thank you all for being with me.